Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need, whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding. We always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Better Together. When you know better, you get better. Kelsey's still trying with the music.
It's cute. You said you liked this one yesterday.
I like this one. This is a good one. But there was the original one that I thought this one was, but it's not. But I like this. I like it. It's funny. Our quote of the day, when we let go of our judgments and see through the lens of compassion, this is when you start to fade it out. We will thrive. I'm like, I can't hear myself talk over that. When we let go of our judgments and see through the lens of compassion, we will thrive. That is from our guest today, Gabrielle Bernstein. I am so excited to be having her back on the show. She's going to offer us 6 messages to heal us through difficult times based on her new book, You Are the Guru. Thank you again for joining us. Coming to you live from Connecticut. Woo-hoo. More on that in a second. In the meantime, thank you guys for subscribing to YouTube, to Patreon. If you haven't already joined us on Patreon, this is a really great time. We're really starting to do some cool things over there. Not just the extra show, not just the ad-free shows, but also tonight is our first kind of workshop.
Yay!
Which is very exciting. We have Saw DeSimone, who you might have seen on the show last week. And we're going to do a really cool workshop with him. And it will be for our Patreon members only, which we're trying to migrate over to Patreon anyway, and we will be very soon. So jump on over because you don't want to miss out. The link is in the bio on my Instagram, or you can go to mariamenounos.com and just click on Patreon and it'll take you right there and you can join us. So thank you for that. Of course, it supports us to keep on doing what we do as
keep
well.
Keep on keeping on.
We want to keep on keeping on. Guess who's not keeping on anymore? That is the Kardashians, guys.
Oh, gosh. Hey. Good transition, Maria.
I was like, let's do this now, actually. So kind of shocking yesterday to see that Keeping Up with the Kardashians announced its final season. Mm-hmm. I commented on Kim's post, but I have to reach out to them because I feel like, gosh, it's like the end of an era. They've been on for 14 years, 20 seasons. The final season will air in the first quarter of next year, I believe, right?
Yeah, and I think they're actually going to probably make it 2 seasons, I think is the hope. I was reading E! Might try to stretch this production schedule through 2021, but either way, production will be wrapping with this iteration of their season. So
I actually had a dream about them last night. And so this must have been so much in my head, but there was this dream I had where Chris had this alter ego named Karen. And she was like this, like, weird, like, kind of fun, you know, whatever, alter ego. And I was like, gosh, you guys should shoot a Christmas special. And it should be, like, a comedy with Karen and this whole thing. I don't know. I was pitching her this whole idea in my dream last night. But yeah, it's interesting. I was reading something. I think it was in the LA Times this morning about how people are leaving television. So they might have had 800,000 viewers now compared to their 4.8 a few years ago. Million.
Yeah.
And how everyone is just on social media now and people are not watching television.
Yeah.
And so it's fascinating to see, like, are they going to fully jump out? Are they going to go to Netflix and do a deal somewhere else? And will they get more viewers somewhere else, right? Like, maybe a Netflix will yield them more viewers than E was. Who knows, right?
Mm-hmm.
E's in a transformative moment right now, it seems.
Yeah.
It's interesting, too, because not only is, like, people are going to social media for this news, but with the reality show model, we're oftentimes finding out these stories in real time before they break on the show. So,
true.
You know, if something happens with Kim and Kanye, we find out about it on our Google News app, we might not care to watch the show a year later when we're seeing it on screen.
Totally.
That's what they were saying in the article this morning, actually. Which, here's the thing. I still think it's interesting to kind of get to see the behind the scenes of those moments because you're not really seeing everything. And I think that's what's kept people for so long. But
now people clip out the behind the scenes, right? So it's like, because that's always what I've watched. It's like, oh, here's a 2-minute clip of what went down between Courtney and Scott, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch the whole episode.
Yeah, because they're going to give you the best moment anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen?
It's such a staple, though. I mean, it's that show, however you feel about the Kardashians, and personally, I like them. Laura and I really kind of, when we first moved to LA, that was the show we fell asleep to. which hopefully isn't offensive to the Kardashians. I take it as a compliment. It's like we're hanging out with another family. But I mean, like, Maria, you might not have had a reality show if it weren't for Keeping Up with the Kardashians. They really set a model and template for tons of even the Housewives shows, I would argue.
Did they come before the Jessica Simpson one? Whatever that was
Simple
called.
Simple Life?
No.
Or Paris?
No, Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey.
Happily, oh, God.
Newlyweds. It was called Newlyweds.
I don't know.
Did they come before?
No.
I'm so curious. I mean, the Osbournes are the ones that really started all of this. And I think they definitely were before. But there's never been anything like the Kardashians. And there never probably will be again.
No.
That is the most unique formula of just brilliance and so many characters and so many personalities all coming together in this beautiful big family that, you know.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. You know what's funny is, knowing them all these years, I've only seen a few things, a few episodes. Like, if I catch something just flipping the channel, I've only watched a little.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's entertaining.
It's kind of
that's for sure. I literally ran inside, Jeff. I was outside working and I was like, oh my God, Maria.
Yeah, she like screamed it. It was like the biggest news of the year.
Crazy. It's and it was just wild that they all posted too.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane.
Well, I mean, they, you know, their whole lives changed.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Crazy. But, you know, what's so crazy is not a lot of people could do what they did.
No.
And if they did, they'd have the same kind of success. I mean, they really bared it all. And it is really, really hard to be that vulnerable and that honest with what's happening in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lesson. It's just another lesson that if you really fully embrace who you are and you kind of let go of all the fears and the limiting beliefs, you know, you'll have the success because, and as you'll hear with Gabby, like that's connection and is what helps you like succeed, right?
Yep.
It's that vulnerability that connects you with people and they want more of that. And most people want more of it because I think they can't do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm super attracted to people who let it all. When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know. I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. I'll hang out because I'm still working on being less scared of being myself. Same. I mean, I put out a stupid little post joking about divorce and everyone's like, oh my God, how dare you? And I'm like, okay, Maria, get that gut strong. Get that gut strong. You know, yeah. And that's such a little teeny thing, but it's really hard not to be ruled by fear of what other people think when that's been ingrained in you. So I've always applauded them for just being themselves and living out loud and reaping the benefits of that.
I agree.
So on to the grass cutting.
Oh yeah.
As you all know, I'm a farm girl now. So I had to take it next level. And we've been here like 6 weeks and we've never cut the grass. My brother cut it before we arrived. And so I was on the seated lawnmower, trying to figure out how to use this thing. And I've done it before, but I don't remember and I don't want to break anything. So I'm on FaceTime with Kevin and my dad. And so once we got it started, now try hearing what they're saying while they're on the phone. So they kept screaming at me, we're only seeing the ceiling. And I'm like, that's because I'm trying to listen to you. So I've got the phone like this. I know you're seeing the ceiling right now. When I show you what I'm showing you, that's your moment to tell me yes or no. I bring it here. So I finally get my headphones and we're doing this whole back and forth. I get the thing going and it's funny because you can't go over rocks or like the blades will break and then you have to deal with a whole other nightmare. And so I was like cautiously going around and then I hit this like little pit. So all of this stuff had grown over the pit. So I didn't see it. And then I like, and then it got stuck and then it shut off.
Yeah.
And guess who couldn't turn it back on again. So then Kelsey comes out, she's helping fill it with gas in case it had run out of gas. It wasn't the gas. And then two of us are pushing the lawnmower, trying to get it back. So I'm like, it might rain. And then this thing might get ruined being out here, but I don't know. So now I'm gonna have to ask my neighbor to come over, my neighbor Mitch. So his wife Norma helped me with the hornets yesterday because we had a hornet issue. They've got all these nests and I put it on Instagram because what was crazy is I was looking up at the gutters where they opened up to make the nest and there was a little frog up there.
Mm.
How the heck did a frog get up there?
I'm just making friends with the hornets maybe.
I don't understand.
It's a zoo. It's because yesterday you said you wanted a zoo. And we said, well, you have a zoo.
Yeah.
And so it's a zoo.
Kelsey's bedroom is literally covered with hornets on her windows.
Yeah,
hornets. And there's this huge nest. So Norma came over and sprayed the lower level. And, you know, I don't like killing things. So that was like not fun. But I was like, okay, I don't want to be dealing with hornets on my front porch when I'm sitting there. And so her husband's going to come over at some point to do the top level with the ladder because I was thinking I was going to walk out onto the ledge and do it myself. And I'm like, wait, I'm terrified of these things. The second one of them comes near me, I'm going to start running. I'm going to fall off the roof.
No.
So Mitch will come save us and maybe he can get me the lawnmower going again. Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content, and a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Hill Squad community, or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment, and we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star
rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts. That's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Facebook group and Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
We also tried to change a very tall light bulb yesterday, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Norma brought over her little like extender so that the ceilings in the library are insane.
Yeah.
They're so tall. So even our guy, one of our guys was here and he didn't have a ladder tall enough. So Norma has this thing that's a stick, right, basically, and trying to take this light bulb out of the ceiling. And I'm like, this is not going to go well. Crashes.
Splats like, everywhere.
Oh my gosh, glass everywhere. So things are really going well.
Yeah,
things are going well.
They're good. Where Kevin goes, do you want me to come out there? And I go, yes. I mean, no, but yes.
Yeah.
Marie, you've been pretty vocal that you've enjoyed this little retreat. You love your Connecticut house, but it's a lot of work. I mean, like when you think about maybe in some world living more in the boonies like you are now, does it feel worth it to you with all the adventures you were having?
Yes. If I've got Kevin, it is so worth it. And my dad or whoever, like, but like having to have it all fall on me and then roping Kelsey into pushing the lawnmower, like, no, that's not ideal. It's a lot for one person to manage all of this stuff. It's a big property. And so, it makes me want to sell and move into a condo.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and especially too, because we got here and the house had needed a little extra love for some time. So it's all happening too. It's right. It's
But
it's a lot, but you're doing well.
Thank you.
You're really doing well. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Farm girl cooks, farm girl cleans, farm girl does shows,
farm girl does it all.
Farm girl does it all. All right.
I'm just
picturing
a bunch of cartoon animals like in Cinderella, Maria, helping you accomplish all these tasks as being friends with the animals.
Well, every day there's a new animal adventure, whether it's, you know, the salamander or the lizard I'm trying to resuscitate or the frogs. I mean, there's so much going on here. But since we're talking about Connecticut, I got to let you guys know, of course, you know that I'm passionate about health and wellness, but being here in the Connecticut countryside has definitely left me lacking some of my favorite healthy options. We've talked about this if you've been watching this week until now. So I'm going to tell you about my recent obsession with Thrive Market, which delivers healthy organic products right to my front door. On our show, we talk about getting better in all areas of life, whether it's finances or health or wellness, even self-care. And with Thrive Market, I've been able to do all three. It's like having Whole Foods delivered directly to my doorstep. It's insane. So Thrive is like a farmer's market online, guys, featuring only the world's highest quality products, from amazing grocery items, pantry staples, and of course, beauty products. Now, personally, I've been enjoying my Triple Action fruit and veggie wash. I've gotten so many different things from Thrive Market already. And the box is pretty. Everything comes really nice. And so with past guests like Dr. Christy Funk imploring the dangers of cancer-causing GMOs and additives, I love that Thrive offers me easy, convenient, non-GMO options with a simple click. It's like I'm getting the whole Whole Foods experience without the price or the hassle of actually having to drive there and go do it all. Which is very helpful right now. So Thrive Market is like an upscale Costco, guys. It's got a small membership fee. You get bulk prices on premium upscale items. That's 20 to 50% off retail. So you save an average of $30 on each order. It's amazing. And one other thing that I love about Thrive Market is that their membership comes with a mission. So every paid Thrive Market membership sponsors a free one for someone in need. So you do good as well. If you're a fan of the show, you know how important it is to take your health seriously. And now you can do it on a budget with Thrive Market. So go to thrivemarket.com/bettertogether to check it out. By going through my landing page, of course, you help us and you benefit the show, the company, and most importantly, yourself, because if you join today, they're going to give you a free gift up to $24 in value. So eat healthy, take care of yourself, and thrive with just one click. One more time, that is thrivemarket.com/bettertogether. very, very exciting find.
Very exciting.
Thrive Market has been for my life. Mm-hmm. It's like now between Amazon and Thrive, I'm like, yep, don't need anything. I don't need to like drive anywhere.
It's amazing.
It really is. Because when you live in the boonies, it's nice. And by the way, even when you don't live in the boonies, like I don't know if when I'm in LA, I'm going to be driving anywhere when I know I can just click on my little Thrive and buy everything I need and have it shipped to the house. And I'm benefiting. I'm actually getting a huge savings.
Right. Well, and no one wants to go to the store right now.
Yeah.
It's scary there.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the store.
Well, also, I feel like a lot of people have a hard time when they have health. If their health is compromised, they have a hard time kind of knowing what to get and where to get. So Thrive also is, you know, curating the best stuff so you can trust them and you can go on and they'll make it a little easier for you. And, you know, people don't feel comfortable going into those like health food stores that they don't know a lot on. Yeah. So it's a really easy experience. So I hope you guys will enjoy it. It's definitely something I'm very excited about and I'm proud to partner with them. So let's get to Miss Gabby. So fans of the show already know, of course, Gabby Bernstein, who is considered one of the foremost thought leaders in modern day spiritual conversations. She's a New York Times bestselling author of 8 books on spirituality, and she's passionate about empowering people with strategies to attract and live the life they've always dreamed of. Her newest book, an Audible original titled You Are the Guru, 6 Messages to Move Through, to Move You Through Difficult Times with Certainty and Faith, could not be better timed. And she is joining us today from the same state. We are in the same state. Gabby, thank you so much for being here.
Mama, if you only knew, if my audio sounds crazy, let me know. If you only knew what just happened before I came on, this is the best moment ever.
Oh, no.
My camera went out. And like, I'm tech woman right now, right? My camera went out. My light broke. My audio stopped. And I called Zach, my husband. And I was like, he's like, you can do this. You can figure this out.
Stop.
Get it out, guys. I worked it out. So we're here. I worked it out.
I love it. Well, you look great. You're lit. I can hear you and I can see you. So this is perfect.
It matters. You can see and hear me. We're good.
You see, I think spiritually you were catching some of our like everything just keeps failing disease over here.
Sorry.
Shit just keeps happening.
The nice thing though about doing anything media related right now is that there's so much room for error. And so it's like, if you mess up, you just laughing his ass off of the court. But if you mess up, it's like, okay, well, let's move on. This is where we're at.
I know. I know. There's like a collective understanding and a collective forgiveness for all things, I feel like, right now.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Yes. A collective forgiveness for all things right now. I'm going to quote you on that. Thank you, Maria.
All right, friends. Let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, when you're all kind of dealing with the same situation, I don't know when we've ever been in a time like this, other than, I mean, when we dealt with terrorism, with 9/11, we were kind of all dealing with the same thing and the same fears, and I'm sure in wartime and all of that, but this was kind of different because it's I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's global. I think that no one is getting away with kind of avoiding it. I think that there's no human that can avoid the circumstances of these times. And that comes along with a lot of responsibility for each individual. because it's not like, you know, when certain things are happening across the world, you can numb out, you could pretend like it's not your problem because it's not where you live or whatever it may be. But right now we are all in this together, and that numbing out is not an option for any of us at this time.
How have you changed since the beginning of the pandemic to now? I mean, even down to, are you loosening up a little? Are you thinking like, okay, we have to learn how to live with this?
So that's a good question. I've changed in different ways. So first of all, I'll say that I personally have changed in the most amazing ways. I've had such a radical shift in my energy. I've strangely never been more at ease. Something about the early days of going into the lockdown or whatever we were in, you know, stay-at-home orders, I think all for every human, a lot came up. So when things come up for me, I show up for them. So I did a ton of work with Tammy, who you know, are the EMDR therapist that you interviewed on the show. I did a lot of work with somatic experiencing, a lot of different energy work on my body so that I could move a lot of this stagnation through me. And I've really come out the other side. So I'm psyched to say that I'm living through this horrific experience with a lot of hope and faith.
Wow.
So I can actually stand behind the principles that I teach and preach. Now, with regard to how my have things changed in terms of like how flexible am I in the world, I don't go anywhere, Maria. I have days where days and days, maybe over a week, where I may not leave the house. And it's not because I'm just trying to be respectful of the world. And I think that, first of all, many people have to go places. You have to go to the grocery store. You have to go, you know, whatever. Some people have to go to work. There's a lot of things that we have to do. But I am of the mindset that the more like loose we are about things, there's a lot of judgment when people sort of have their own ways of doing this quarantine thing. But right, Jeff's like, yep. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to judge other people's experience. But from my personal perspective, I feel like the more out I am, the more I could affect others in my world, including my child and my husband, and I'm trying to conceive. So personally, I'm treating myself like a high risk person because I want to have, I want to be pregnant soon. Yeah. So there's that. But there's also just this sort of the less we all do, the more we all support each other. And that's, you know, it's a tough thing to accept, but it's true. And that, I have to speak for that. I really want to.
I have to ask you, since you mentioned that, do you have any fears associated with getting pregnant right now? Or did you, that you had to work through?
You know, I'm doing all right around it. I would say that I'm grateful that it's taken as long as it has, because the longer I've had to wait to conceive, the closer I get to it, to delivering at a time when there's less of a problem. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of been my silver lining in this whole thing. But I don't feel nervous in the sense of the day to day, because I'm just going to stay home and do my thing. But I do get sort of another level of urgency around it. I think that if I wasn't trying to be a pregnant person during a pandemic, maybe I would be a little bit more relaxed. So yeah, there's a bit of a higher level of consciousness around the situation.
Well, I was talking to a friend who's trying right now yesterday, and you know, we were talking about the surrogate situation with us and how, you know, we're hoping by the end of the year she'll, you know, be cleared to go and get implanted. And she was like, does it matter? Because we've talked about relocating and stuff like that. And she's like, does it matter with your surrogate where you are? And I said, well, I don't kind of think so. You can't go to the doctor's appointments. And that's kind of a thing. Like, I wonder, even like knowing Zach might not be able to come with you to appointments, what if he can't be there for delivery? Like, I think of all of those things.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that my husband is useless in the delivery room.
Oh, poor Zach.
No, because he passes out. When he sees blood, he just like literally lands on the floor. So he makes things a little bit more difficult. So I would if I had a choice of one person, I would definitely have my doula and not my husband.
Dead. That's amazing.
And it doesn't mean that I would want him to be there when the baby was born. I would want him to walk right in the door, but just, you know, he'd be happier with that commitment as well, I think.
Hilarious. Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah. Do you have any advice for people who are worried about that?
I do. I have a gift for everyone that's birthing right now. You can give it in the show notes. I have a birthing affirmations that I recorded because I practice something called hypnobirthing, which we can give to your surrogate too. We should give her this birthing affirmations if she's open to it. The birthing affirmations are me recorded affirmations over a track that just really repeats these positive affirmations about our ability to birth and the strength of our body and the power of spirit that's within us and around us. And it's a gift. I just have it as a gift online. So I'll give you guys this for the show notes. And that's something I've been giving a lot of mamas right now so that they can feel supported and hear my voice to guide them at that critical moment in time.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I love that. You know, before the pandemic hit, you know, you were doing a lot of touring. And so your business has probably shifted to a degree, at least. How have you handled all of those things in the pandemic?
So for me, speaking publicly wasn't a huge part of my business in that, like, I wasn't speaking as my main vocation, but it's my art and it's my passion. So it would be like, you know, taking a piano away from a pianist.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to be nimble and I've had to adjust. I was just so sort of stuck in the ways that I was able to get online and use the internet to get, and I've been booked for a bunch of talks that are like this, right?
Yeah.
But it's not with you. There isn't another person I'm connecting to. So I'm just in front of the camera for an hour with no feedback.
Ooh.
And I come downstairs and my husband's like, so how was the talk? And I was like, boring, you know? So important about having that connection. So it's developing a new skill set of recognizing how to really tune into the connectedness, recognizing and accepting that people are with me, even if I can't see them, and just staying in super alignment with what it is that I'm sharing, regardless of the feedback, which is truly the greatest challenge for any artist would be to say, can you channel the energy when there aren't people giving you that feedback loop? So that's a gift in that. The other thing that's been a great gift that's come of this, Maria, is I started to feel like, okay, one of my favorite things about doing live events is doing the Q&A. And you've seen me live. I mean, you see how lit up I get when I'm
totally
in Q&A. So I was just so sad that I couldn't do my Q&A. So I started using Instagram to do this show that I call Dear Gabby. And so every Wednesday for an hour, I get on and I bring random people from all over the world. I have no idea who these people are. I bring them on to my show. I see them. I see them face to face. I talk to them. I Dear Gabby them. They come with their Dear Gabby question. Anything. Today, we talked about suicide. We talked about addiction. We talked about mental illness. We talked about anxiety. We talked about manifesting, bullying. I mean, every topic covered in this show. And this show, I mark my words, will be something far more than Instagram. It's something that I'm definitely going to be bringing into the world that is being brought into the world in a bigger way. So that came out of this sort of obstacle, which turned into this major opportunity to support far more people than I would if it was just 1,000 people in a room. Now it could be several thousand people on the internet. So there is, you know, we have to right now look at these things where I could walk around and be like, my stage was taken from me and be all mad about it. Or I could say, well, what am I going to do with the situation that I've been gifted? How am I going to show up for it? What are the positive?
I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Τι έχεις? What do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Waste Seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code Heel Squad for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code Heel Squad. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Things that are going to come of this. Mm-hmm. And there's so many. There's so many beautiful things. And yes, you travel a lot too. I'm sure you're probably happy to be put for a little while. I know I am. Mm-hmm. Although I wouldn't mind getting on a plane at this point. But it's been nice to be in one place. And then the biggest silver lining of all is this bond that I've been able to establish with my son, because for the first 3 months of COVID, we didn't have any child care. So we were just really nervous about what that was. And so we were really full-time parents and full-time business owners and full-time author and everything else. So I got to really deeply bond with my son, which is the most important thing in my life.
So cool. I love getting to ask that and have people watch, you know, every time like the punch came, we went boop, and here we're going to pivot, and boop, here we're going to pivot. So it's helpful for people to see that, you know, it really is about kind of how you handle adversity, how you're going to respond, rather than just sitting there and reacting and complaining, how you're going to say, okay, well, let me see this as the gift that is going to propel me into something bigger and to shift out of something that I thought was so amazing. And now, you know, having to talk to the camera alone, all I could think of right then was, wow, what a gift to be able to hone that skill.
Yeah.
You would have never done it. You would never choose to do that. I would never choose to do that. Oh. I was going to speak at Tony Robbins event in Florida, and I was fully prepared to suck, because I was like, I need people. I've got... These are our beliefs, right? And we'll talk a little bit about beliefs, but I had such strong beliefs that I needed people live to connect to feel that energy so that I could be my best. And then when I got there, I realized, well, energy is energy. They're all on a Zoom. I'm seeing their faces. I'm feeling their energy regardless. And it wasn't just about that. It was about what I was going to give to them and what I was delivering that was making me excited. And then they're getting excited receiving. And then there was that connection anyway, whether we were in person or not. So it's kind of cool.
And what Tony is doing too, and being able to see people, if you can see somebody, it really helps.
Yeah.
He's also has such a setup, that guy. That is such a cool thing. I watched the videos of you there with all of the people, and you can see everyone. And there's a major energy that can happen when you can see that many people lit up, even if it's on a screen. So there's a lot, I thank God for technology right now.
Yeah, I know. Well, I want to talk a little bit about beliefs, because I feel like one of the tougher parts of this pandemic is we all have our own beliefs about what's happening, what's going to happen, how things are going. And I think that it can really take over in such a negative way. Talk a little bit about beliefs and how you kind of, how you see it and how you help people shift out of maybe the limiting beliefs.
So I hear a lot of the same story coming up over and over again, whether it's on Dear Gabby or if it's an inbox email or a DM from somebody. People are feeling really stuck and they're feeling a lot of lack. They're feeling that they are angry and feeling resentful of their circumstances. The message that I always return to is, what are we going to do with this life that we're living? What are we going to do with it? When we are faced with adversity, we have a moment in time where we are really given the opportunity to be face planted with our belief systems. It's easy to kind of ignore our belief systems when we have a lot of things to distract us. But when it's in our face, when those distractions are taken away, we have to show up for our inner world in a way that we never have before. So we have this opportunity right now to really go closer into and look more closely at the belief systems that have held us back and do our part to reorganize them. Now, some of that reorganization is deep and it has to happen in a therapeutic setting. And some of it can happen just by a choice you make. Right now, you just say, you know, I'm going to choose to focus on what's thriving rather than what's lacking, or I'm going to choose to focus on the opportunities rather than the obstacles. So it depends on how big and deep the belief is. Some beliefs are really deep. They go deep. So you got to do a little therapy on it or a lot of therapy on it. That's okay. There's a lot of therapists out there that are doing great work right now. There's also beliefs that we can, but when it's smaller beliefs or the traumatic beliefs that are trauma with a small t, right, that we can kind of adjust a little bit more easily. Those are the belief systems that we have more power over, and we can use the power of positive thinking to really reorganize our thoughts. That's been my path right now. My path right now has been really conscious of what it is that I'm thinking and what it is that I'm feeling so that I can bring a better energy to my household and to my work and to everything that I do.
Do you have an example of one that you worked through recently?
Yeah. Yes, totally. Well, I lived for many years with the belief system of nobody can help me. I've got to do it all myself. Nobody can help me. When everything hit, a lot of things got restructured in my business. Some people left our company that had been with us for 10 years. Then people stepped up, new people came in to be hired. And in that time, I realized I've got this fresh start. I don't want to go back to the old patterns that were really probably affecting me, my team, the whole thing. So I did a lot of personal growth work around the belief that nobody can show up for me. I did some EMDR, like we've talked about. I did some work with somatic experiencing, which is really about releasing it from the body. And then I did a lot of spiritual work around it, really grounding myself in a new belief system. Now, I'm really proud to say, within a very short period of time, with a new team, a new energy, a new attitude, that pattern that lived with me for so many years has dissipated. It's not that it will never show up again, but it's not something that I believe in anymore.
Wow.
So if it does show up, I can say, oh, you know, that's not really true.
I've never done somatic work.
It's your next step. You know, every time I start like giving you new therapeutic tools.
I love it. Well, Tammy was game changing.
Rock your world. And I have somebody for you, and he'd be great to have on the show as well.
Yeah, it would be great to talk to him and learn about it and then absolutely implementing it. Because I feel like we all have so many things, whether they're big or small, that we have to be continuously working on, and then new things pop up and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we really have to get it out of the body right now because we're stagnant. Many of us are at home or we're not moving. Many people are moving more than ever because they're exercising more, but there's a lot of stagnation and stagnant energy. And so when we're in that stagnant place, we have to really be conscious of what's happening in the body. And the beautiful thing about somatic experiencing work, which is founded by Dr. Peter Levine, and it's one of the most transformational therapies for trauma, but also just in general for just shifting energy out of your body and changing your patterns. It's about addressing the body, not so much the thought systems. Mm-hmm. So we do so much work around like, what are you thinking? And what's that story and the story and the story and the story. But with SE, you don't have to even get into the story. You go right into the body.
Yeah.
It's great work. It's really good work.
Ooh, I can't wait to learn more about it. Okay. So throughout this pandemic, at some point you decided you were going to write this book. You know, there are 6 guiding principles that I figured we would go through today, excuse me, to help people in this time. So I want to go through the 6 with you and have you explain to everybody what they are and how they will help them in their lives.
Yeah. And the cool thing about this book is that I actually pressed send on the manuscript to Audible, my publisher, the same week that we got that lockdown message. So as soon as we were like, oh, okay, you know, everybody go home. This is a pandemic. I press send on You Are the Guru. I looked at my email and I said, this is wild. God has plans. I could never contemplate myself. I could not have dreamed of a more timely message than the one that has come through now. Of course, I was able to have a little bit of a window to adjust the content even more to address COVID, to address all the racial injustice, to address the given circumstances. So that was cool too, to be able to really take what I'd already written and then just completely drive home the message from the manuscript. So it's been a privilege to be able to kind of take this home at this time. And yeah, so the book is based on six messages.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Mine is the sweet chili.
Guiding messages. The messages are meant for us to strengthen our faith and our resilience and our hope in difficult and uncertain times. What happens often when we're in these times, we can maybe go into a personal growth practice or go to therapy or try something, but our brain is so scattered that it's hard to have that focal point, have that anchor. So what I intended with this book was to give these six principles, these six messages, as almost like sutras. And a sutra is a message that's easy to remember. It's a phrase that's easy to remember. It's something easy to reference. It was often given to people when they couldn't read because it was just something that they could just turn, a thought that they could turn to that would be their spiritual message. So these messages are easy to remember, very simple to follow. In some cases, they may not be as simple to follow given how far down the road of fear someone may have gone. But there's practical messages and lessons and practices throughout this audible that give the listener the chance to really take the practice into their own life.
I love that you voice it over too. I feel like I haven't done an audible in so long. And it's always refreshing for me to realize, oh, authors do their own voice. Because whenever I have a book and it's not the author, I get really frustrated.
It's no easy thing. This reading a book for Audible or for an audio book is really hard. But I've done it now. I've done it for 7 of my 8 books. I'm actually about to read my first book that never had an audio. I'm going to read that one for Audible. So every one of my books will be read by me. But the first time I remember I sat down to read my book, Spirit Junkie, I was so bad. They were like, okay, we might need to add a day for this recording.
No way.
So bad. But you get better and better at it. The other thing that also happened for me this time around is I didn't want to go into the studio because it was the early days of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I just frankly was like, I got to get set up at home. So I set up so Audible sent me a whole recording studio set up, and I've got a recording studio now over in the corner of my office. I'm actually building out a recording studio in my home now, a real one that I can walk into, because it's kind of what's going to happen. It's where I'm at.
So funny. My husband's so funny because I remember at some point a few years ago, he was like, he gutted the garage and he goes, this is your future. And I was like, what is he talking about? He's such a weirdo. And then he did it here too. So I have studios on both coasts. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like he knew.
It's so funny because I was thinking about your husband when Zach was giving me this whole video setup. Because I was like, it was almost like he had a download. I mean, in my case, we've been forced into the situation. Your husband knew already, but he had the psychic premonition. But Zach just sort of like researched everything and got nerdy about it. It's kind of fun.
I love it. Well, you guys need to ask if you ever need help. We can always. We've done this a few times.
To be running these ideas by Kev. Yeah.
Yeah. Anytime. Mm-hmm. In the middle of a renovation, he went out and built our friend Sean's studio because he was putting together something at the house and Kevin just can't have somebody he loves just do like a half-ass job. So right. He went over there and he built him the most insane studio like overnight. So yeah, if you need help, we're here. Okay.
We'll be reaching out about that.
Let's go through the six guiding principles. So the first one is see through the lens of love.
This one, Maria, could not be more timely, relevant, and important than it is right now. This is a message about connecting to the truth of who we are. We are people who are based and grounded in the strength and the knowing of love. The core of who we are does not see separation. It's the developmental traumatic events throughout our life that have created racism, that have created beliefs of better than and less than, bullies, and all of the separation that we see in the world that we live in today. So to undo those belief systems, we have to learn to see through the lens of love. This is something that I believe is being challenged for all folks right now. Because whether you feel like the victim of the world or whether you feel like you're grounded in your own belief systems about others, there is a tinge of love within us that's saying this doesn't feel right. So many people are going to get, you know, even more rooted in their separate belief systems. But if someone's listening to this book, this audiobook, they definitely have it within them to begin the practices of seeing through the lens of love. That practice is really about recognizing ourselves and other people, recognizing our interconnectedness, seeing ourselves in the shoes of somebody else. So having to go through a difficult situation and see somebody suffering and try to put yourself in their shoes for a moment to recognize and identify the pain and the suffering that they may be experiencing.
Okay. I have a question on that. So I can put myself in the other person's shoes so much that I get confused because if I can see all sides, then how do you find a solution if you see all sides?
I think it's about releasing sides. So there's a lot, this is a big topic. There's a lot to unpack here. Okay. But if there's two things. One is that you say that you see yourself in somebody else's shoes, you get overwhelmed. So that's that empathic nature that you have, which is one of the most beautiful characteristics that you have. But for many of us so-called empaths, we can also be at risk because we can start to take on the energy of others, take on the energy of people's fears, take on the energy of people's discomfort. So that may resonate with you. That's something just to continue to look at and be cautious of so that we don't become so overwhelmed, because at that stage of overwhelm, we can't actually even do any good.
Yeah.
We're just sort of flat out in that chaotic state. The other element here is that when we recognize ourselves in somebody else, or we try to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and we feel that pain and suffering, we don't have to stay there, but we have to do something with it. We have to let that be a motivating factor to strengthen our own daily activism, to strengthen our voice when it comes to helping others become less apathetic, to really awakening to the injustices in the world and not just sort of ignoring them or being present when it's being asked of us, but being present all the time. The seeing through the lens of love also means that we can see our loved ones who trigger us through the lens of love, that we can recognize that someone who's attacking us is not necessarily a bad person, that they're just suffering and they're sick.
Okay, so, but how do you deal with that though? So that's what I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking about somebody who's deeply traumatized me, who is in a lot of pain, who has a lot of issues. And I'm like, oh gosh, like I think I just got to jump in and try to help figure it out for this person because I can understand, I can put myself in their shoes. But at the same time, I know what my shoes have felt like too. So then you're like, wait, where do you draw the line on people that hurt you and say, this is not healthy for me? But sometimes you feel like you could help them back. I mean, it's kind of a confusing thing.
I got you. You pray for them.
I did. Yeah.
Keep going. Because, and you release them. You forgive them and you release them. And forgiveness is a big part of that first step in the audible, which is really about recognizing that we may not have the actual ability to change someone, but we have the ability to change our perception of them. When we change our perception of them, we actually strengthen them. We give them more hope. We give them more faith. We give them more love. We give them the potential to change and grow on their own. We've released them of the judgment and the attack that we've placed upon them. So it's the answer really is quite much more simple than you've been making it. You don't have to fix anything. You pray. And you pray for them to have everything you want for yourself. You pray for them to be free from whatever it is that's plaguing them and making them attack in the ways that they have. It's big.
So you pray, but then also it's kind of your shift in your energy that they'll feel on the other end.
Oh, 100%. So when we forgive or when we pray or when we surrender something or someone, it can get resolved naturally because we have released it. It's when we're trying to control something that we get in the way, that we get in the way of the healing, that we get in the way of the manifestation, that we get in the way of the natural order of things.
Ooh. Yeah. Not easy when you're controlling kind of type A.
Controlling is the
when you're like, oh, I think I could fix this and this is what this person needs.
No.
Okay.
These jars, by the way, are my new favorite thing in quarantine.
What is it? Just a mason jar?
A mason jar, but I really just have like this like joy of drinking out of a straw.
Oh my God.
I love it. Meanwhile, I'm only asking for a friend, guys. This is not for me. I'm asking for a friend. No, but seriously, I'm asking because I know so many people are in these situations and I know I'm not the only one. And if you can guide me through, you're guiding them through it, because especially where everyone's living with each other, maybe they weren't living with them before. They're confronted with these things so head on in such a big way. And it could be in the world. It could be in your home. It's challenging.
Yeah. And some of it is just having the willingness to forgive. You don't have to know how to forgive. You become willing to forgive. And that willingness is a prayer in itself.
Interesting. Okay. Seeing through the lens of love. Surrender to creative solutions.
This one's great. Great, great, great. We all need it more than we've ever needed it before. When everything around us is changing, we have to change with it. So are we going to resist the change, or are we going to surrender to it and welcome creative solutions? So this is a practice about really opening up our receptivity to identify and recognize that when we get back into alignment with what I refer to as spirit or God or universe or super attractor power, energy of love, when we get back into alignment with that presence, that's when we can start to hear and listen to the intuitive guidance that's available to us at all times. It's when we push and control, like we were saying before, that we actually deflect those creative solutions. So through surrender, we open up to creative solutions. And in this message, I give a lot of practices on how to surrender and how to release attachments so that those creative solutions can be revealed to us. It's imperative that we live in a way of opening up to creative solutions at this time, because otherwise we are going to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, if you don't, you're that person that's just hanging on to the past and complaining about what was and why it isn't anymore. And what people don't realize, I think, is that exactly what you said, you get stuck and it's not good for you. The rest of the world's going to keep moving on. Right. Mm. So you might have a few people, as Kevin will say, on the bar stool next to you complaining with you. Cool. But you guys are just going to stay there. Right. It doesn't take a lot to just kind of get over that next hurdle. And, you know, I always say if you have to surround yourself with different people, you do whatever it takes to kind of get your mojo back to kind of on track. Right.
Yeah. And creative solutions are given to us when we align with the desire, when we really let go, when we release that control. Anyone watching probably has had an experience maybe at some point of kind of giving up, like giving up control or practicing surrender or just saying like, I guess I can't do anything about it. And then something wildly synchronistic can step in, or an idea that we couldn't otherwise have had. So surrender and surrender more, allowing those creative solutions to come through.
Yeah. So what's a good example that you share in the book for a solution?
So I have a personal experience actually that's not in the book recently. Ooh. That I can give an example of.
Okay.
But I was trying to sort of fix something that I had, a mistake I had made, right? And I was trying to, with a friendship, with a relationship, and I was trying to force it. And everything just kept getting worse because the more I tried to control the outcome, the worse it got. So I got into a daily habit, a daily prayer practice of just offering it up and saying, I don't know the answer, but I'm willing to receive creative solutions. And just affirming that, I don't have the answer, I'm willing to receive creative solutions. And this happened even just 2 days ago, where once I just let it go, everything started to just relax. I started to feel better about it. I didn't have so much tension in that friendship anymore. And all of a sudden, the next morning, I woke up and I heard, do this thing. I'm not going to say it out loud because I don't want to give too much away, but do this specific thing. It was like an inner wisdom, an inner guidance system. And it was the exact thing I needed to do to really resolve the situation. So it was giving it away that allowed it to be presented to me. And so I think that anytime we really say, this is not for me to figure out, I'm going to give it over, that's when an inspired idea can come through. So if you're holding on to something right now, the outcome of a job, the outcome of a relationship, if you're trying to control another person, whatever it is that you're holding on to, just get into this prayer. I can't control this. I'm open to a creative solution. Or just even simply saying, I welcome creative solutions. That affirmation is a prayer to the universe. That affirmation is a form of surrender. And when we start to get into the habit of it, that message alone has the power to heal. And that's actually the cool thing about this book, is that there's practices in every single message, several practices in every message, but there's also just the simplicity of saying the message out loud. Mm. If you just say the message out loud, it has power.
Got it. I have a question. So ever since I started studying, you know, all of these, you know, these things in the universe, whether it's through you and through Esther Hicks and all of that, I've been confused in my prayers. Am I asking God or am I asking the universe? Hmm. Is that a weird thing?
No, it's all semantics, really. all my work is about helping people. And I think it was in my book, The Universe Has Your Back. There's a whole lesson on how to create a faith statement. Mm-hmm. What's so important about that, might have been Super Attractor, might have been Universe. I don't even remember. They're all like one book now. But that message, that practice is so valuable because we just need to, it doesn't matter what words we call on, it's that we call upon it, whatever it may be for us. So I always say, I don't care what you call it. All I care about is that you call upon it. So if there's a word, you could use those words interchangeably, universe, God, spirit, grandma, whatever you want, or you can just really claim what that means to you based on your religious beliefs or based on mm-hmm. a faith statement or based on something that you channel as you're writing. Whatever it needs to come through will come through for you.
It's cool. By the way, I really love Dear Gabby too. That keeps like popping into my head and I'm like, oh my God, it's so genius.
Oh yeah, I'm telling you. It's the thing.
I can't wait to hear more about it. The third one is inspired action clears the path. What do you mean by clears the path?
Okay. So this is a great one because whenever we are stuck, it's because we are disconnected from spirit. So spirit meaning inspiration. And so as my late mentor and friend, Dr. Wayne Dyer would say, when we're in spirit, we're inspired. When we are feeling stuck, but we then take any action that's coming from a place of inspiration, that stuckness starts to unravel. So for instance, let's say, I like to cook. So if I'm feeling really stuck or I'm having a hard day or something's up for me or relationship suffering, I can go downstairs and cook, and that's really inspiring for me. And I'll put on some music and I'll make a meal. And just in an hour, I can change my energy because I've taken an inspired action. So it will clear out whatever it was that was blocking me before.
Ooh.
Any inspired action. It doesn't have to be an action that's towards a goal. It can just be any inspired action will clear the path. But if you are actually trying to do something, let's say you're trying to attract a new job or get a new job right now, instead of every single day waking up and being like, it's terrible, there's so much unemployment, there's no jobs for me, blah, 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 and getting so stuck in the story, just stay in daily actions that are inspiring to you. Your energy will change. You'll become more of a magnet. And I guarantee you, you'll have a much easier time getting landing that next job. I can promise it. I promise it.
Yeah.
Inspired action clears the path. I mean
it. So true. So true. I mean, the laws of attraction have proven that, right?
It really is. It really is. Because when you're inspired, you're in spirit. And when you're in spirit, you're a super attractor. You're a magnet.
That's so cool. That's so helpful to remember. Next, number four is in stillness we receive.
This one is my go-to. We always come back to it. It's meditation. It's being in stillness. It's really allowing ourselves to get into alignment with our breath, with our inner wisdom, or an inner state of stillness allows an inner state of peace within us. So this may be new for someone. They may have never meditated before. The beauty is there's several meditations throughout the Audible original, and they're very easy meditations. In the next message, there's actually loving kindness meditation. And the message in this one is really just about grounding and getting still and really clearing the stagnant energy. Because when we actually allow ourselves to be still, again, that's when inspiration can move through. It's when we're in that frenetic state that we are controlling, mm-hmm. that we are blocking, that we're trying to make things happen. So a stillness practice is required of all of us, I believe, at this time.
How often are you in stillness? And is it total stillness, total quiet?
Yeah, I meditate in the morning right when I wake up. Then I have a 40-minute meditation practice from 12 to 12:40 every day, except for Wednesday. I stop at 12:30 for Dear Gabby, but 12:40 I meditate. So for 40 minutes midday. It's also just at that point where I really need like a recharge.
Mm-hmm.
That 40 minutes is just super recharging for me and energizing for me.
I love it. Number five, compassion creates connection.
This one has some amazing methods in it. There's a loving kindness meditation in this one. It's the most important thing we could be applying in our life right now. I know that I keep saying that about every single message, but this one's the big one. We have to develop a level of compassion for ourselves and for others. What I've done in this message is also giving you practices for how to develop a way of speaking to yourself that's a more kind and compassionate method of communicating to yourself. Because I actually posted this the other day that say nice things to yourself. You're the only one listening, right? So we're always, you know, just often just putting ourselves down or attacking ourselves in really sad ways. And so we have to do our part to really become more conscious of how we treat ourselves with our thoughts and our words. This message and this part of the book will really give the listener this great ability to start to develop self-compassion. When we start to develop self-compassion, it's much easier to be compassionate towards others.
Very true. The last one is you are the guru. So a lot of people don't know what that even means. Mm-hmm. So let's start off with what it actually means and how do you unlock the power of that guru inside of you?
Well, what happens for anyone that embarks on a personal growth journey, whether it be spiritual or whether it be a Tony Robbins or something that's going to be that's going to change you from the inside. Whenever we make that kind of commitment, we start to identify a part of ourselves that is the voice of love, the voice of our higher self, the voice of wisdom, the voice of compassion, the voice of inspiration, the voice of connection, the voice that sees through the lens of love. In IFS therapy and internal family systems, it's called the self or the big S. So it's that inner being within all of us that is the teacher. It's the voice that says, you got this. It's the voice that says, here's a moment of compassion. It's the voice that gives you the strength when you have so much doubt. And it's the voice that can be there to support all the other parts of you that may be crumbling when things are falling apart. So this final chapter, this final message is about really accepting, honoring, acknowledging, and developing the teacher within each of us, to recognize that no person outside of us can be our teacher, can be our teacher, but they can't be our guru. They can't be our source of inspiration or love. Because if we make anyone else outside of us that source, that person, when that person fucks up, because they will, Maria, you know, mm-hmm. they will, something will get messed up.
Yep.
When that idol falls, you fall with them.
Yeah.
You have to learn to rely on the inner wisdom and strength within you and develop a connection to that higher self so that, yes, you can learn from others. Yes, you can be inspired by others. Yes, you can be mentored, but you're not going to put your well-being, happiness, safety, security, inspiration, joy in the hands of another human. There's a really big sort of aha moment at the end of this audible where I share that this book was originally based on 5 sutras from a guru that I perceived to have at one stage. About 2 months before I finished the manuscript, I got news that this guru was actually a very bad dude, sexually, you know, had raped people and sexually abused women and just really took advantage. Power, just a lot of what we've been hearing over and over in the Me Too movement. This is obviously quite shattering, embarrassing. I quoted this person. The person was dead, but it was someone that, you know, was like a guru, right? So I had, you know, been the victim of that, not the victim, but I had experienced exactly that thing of putting someone on a pedestal and seeing them fall and then you fall with them. So I look back at the manuscript and I realized, holy shit, you know, while these sutras were inspiration, every single word in this book and every single message and every single lesson is my own. So I don't actually have to change anything. I didn't have to change a single word of the book. I changed the actual phrasing, the messages, made them mine. I, in some ways, adjusted them completely, but I didn't actually change the content. And I added the 6th message, which is that you are the guru. Really drive home that we can't place our security and safety and faith in somebody else.
Yeah.
From us.
I think that's such a hard thing because, you know, we're all, you know, kind of taught to look outward for affirmation and, you know, you want your parents to approve and, you know, from youth, you're looking outward to see if you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. And so I think we all kind of need to hear that and really work on that, because if you're strong on the inside and you're, you know, kind of, you know what you have inside of you, you'll never, ever need anybody else. Right.
That is the message. And it's not that we don't need others. It's that we don't need others to be our source of safety and happiness.
Yeah.
So we do, as human species, need to rely on other human beings, and it's not about not relying on others, but it's about really knowing that you, that yourself can serve you and heal you and support you.
Yeah.
That's a developmental thing. And another form of therapy I would highly recommend for developing that connection is IFS therapy. And that's internal family systems, which I will highly recommend again on the show. I love recommending
IFS.
Big one.
Did you just hear my jaw crack in like 20 places just now? My jaw just cracked everywhere.
Your back is telling you. Let me read you something that's related to this book. You are the guru here. Today I posted this. What I came to realize was that the truths I share here are universal truths. All spiritual messages come from the same source of love. As an author, I'm here to help translate and share, but I am not your guru. I am a translator whose job is to remind you of what you already know deep within you. While I hope my work is a source of inspiration and the catalyst for your own spiritual development, I am not your guru. You, my friend, are the guru. Each practice in this Audible original is meant to inspire you to return to the truth within yourself. Living these practices can become second nature because they're merely a reminder of who you really are. I've given you methods for reconnecting to these truths, but I in no way invented them. These messages are based on a universal curriculum that we all have access to at all times. Whether you realize it or not, deep down, you know you have an ultimate capacity for kindness. You know you have an inner presence of love guiding you. You know we are one, and you know we are not alone. The world we live in has built up a wall against these truths, but practicing the messages will restore your faith in who you really are.
Wow. I love that.
You are the guru.
I love that. That's a lot. That's something I feel like we need a really deep dive here on, is how to kind of connect to that and how to feel safe and comfortable in that. I think it's really powerful. I don't know if we've talked about it like that before here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what's interesting, I'm just quickly hopping in because what you're saying is resonating so much, Gabby. It can be so easy for us to stake our own happiness or our own futures based on the words of others. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, with this show, Maria, we bring on so many brilliant people. But what you're getting at, I think, Gabby, I hope I'm phrasing this articulately, is we need to help use those words as guidance to discover what we have in ourselves, mm-hmm. rather than allowing those people to be our anchors. We need to use their words to empower ourselves to be our anchors.
That's exactly right. We have this, it's almost like all day, every day, we're filtering different sources of information. And the more aligned we are, as I've referenced, the more we see through the lens of love, the more we lead through compassion and kindness, the more we open up to creative solutions, the more we live in a solution-oriented way, the easier it is to receive the information that we can then be inspired by that will give us the next right action. But we are the filter. We are the one that can develop and decide, how am I going to use this? How am I going to show up for this? And when we ever get into the trap of saying, oh, well, so-and-so told me to do it that way, or this person said I have to do it that way, that's when we start to lose our power and we lose our capacity to trust that we have that inner wisdom within ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, that's so cool. It's like everything we need is inside of us.
That's right.
It's so cool. Damn. Another great conversation with Gabby.
I love you guys. I just emailed. I was like, hey, I got this new book. Everyone's like, see you Wednesday.
Yeah. I know. Like, hello. We're in. We're always in.
All in alignment. It's all in alignment.
For sure. For sure. Wow. Well, if you guys haven't gotten Gabby's new Audible original, You Are the Guru, it can be found on audible.com. I had to learn how to use audible.com, by the way. I'd never used it before. So it's a game changer. Obviously, you're going to go much more in depth in the book than we did here, but this is a great entree into what you're going to get. And so, Gabby, thank you so much. This is definitely perfectly timed and we all need this. And that last one is such a, like, I don't know, when you look at all of them, do you have one that you think over the other as well? Or do you?
I right now am really grounded in the creative solutions, really opening and surrendering every moment to creative solutions, because I just feel like when I notice people around me just sort of being mad that they can't go out to dinner or whatever, and I want to just be like, screw you, you know, because like you have a house and you have food on the plate or whatever it is. Like, I'm just really thinking about a lot of the suffering in the world. And I just, when I stay in that place of creative solutions, I continuously have this extreme level of gratitude that has given me far more, a far greater capacity to help other people. So I kind of want to stay there as much as possible.
I love it. Well, I'm going into You Are the Guru a little deeper. And I can't wait for Somatic Work and IFS. We're going to go into all of this stuff. And I can't wait to come visit you and Will I be your first guest in quarantine? I'm just kidding.
Third guest, but there's a handful of people like yourself that I know are living in the way I'm living, but I'm like, we can do this.
Yeah.
I'll sit on the porch.
I love it. We will sit social distanced on the porch and chat, and that'll be so fun. All right. Well, thank you as always. Of course, you can get all of Gabby's other books at GabbyBernstein.com. And until next time, friend.
Love you.
Thank you. So cool. You know, it's so awkward for me to have two headphones on. I feel like I'm so subdued.
I saw that. I was like, why should
I? And I realized it later. Well, because I couldn't hear her at first. But I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to hear her well.
Yeah.
And so I popped both in, but I realized it takes my energy just so.
Because you're all.
Did you guys notice it or is it just me? Mm-mm. Does my energy seem different today?
No.
I thought it was just you were just zenning with Gab. I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I feel like I zen with her every time.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a her thing and not an earphone thing.
You were just clicked into her.
Isn't that so funny?
Yeah.
I will say, I think when you're having a deep conversation, sometimes on a podcast, if the host feels too energy programmed, I don't believe them.
Agreed.
So I think I know what you're saying, Maria, but like to me, everyone's just tuning in to that deep conversation you're having, you know?
That last one, did you guys understand where I was going with that? Like not having to look outside and knowing that like you have all that strength inside of you. That's pretty cool.
Well, and your point too, which I really liked and kind of resonated with me was that we always are told we need mentors, we need coaches, we need this, we need that. And that's like, yeah, okay, great. You can take pieces from all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, no, it's not about them. It's about you.
Well, nothing is ever going to be unique to you if you're just listening to everybody else, right? Like, I think it was one of the people we've had on the show where she was like, everyone kept telling me this is how you were supposed to do a business. And then when I just did it the way I felt is when I succeeded.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Of course, if you liked today's episode, let me give you a recommendation for something you may have missed along the way. But episode number 37 with Sean Korn is amazing as well as our other two Gabby episodes, most recently number 51. As always, you can find us on our new Instagram.
Yay!
Better Together with Maria at gmail.com. Wait, no, that's our Gmail, but our Instagram account is Better Together with Maria. Do we have followers yet, by the way?
Yeah, we do. We're almost at 80.
Oh, yes. Okay, guys.
Love it.
Follow us on Instagram so we don't look lonely. please help us. We're going to be putting out really cool content there. And then you can follow Gabby Bernstein at Gabby Bernstein, at Maria Menounos, at Jeffrey Crane Graham, at Kelsmeyer 2. And remember, follow us on Instagram. Okay. Better Together with Maria now. Follow us. I mean, now my joke, I'm screwing up my ending. Be nice, people. Make good choices and be present.